All right. Good morning, everybody. Woo, it's good to be here. It's great to see all y'all. Man, who would ever guess you could gather this many men this early in the morning to all love Jesus in one place? The power. It's so good, guys. Man, you're doing something special here. All these guys out here, man, it's just cool just to see each of you guys just seeking the Lord so you can, you know, grow in Christ, lead your family well, and, you know, into all godliness. And, boy, it's just awesome to be here and a privilege to be able to be a part of this. And anyway, just know that, you know, we're rooting for you guys and you're calling your lives. And it's just exciting to see you guys going after it full bore. And anyway, my name is Greg Gless. I'm the pastor of our stewardship ministry here at Res Life that we call Generous Life. And the Lord kind of gave me an interesting message. Pastor Tim stopped by and I had already been thinking about a certain message, but I didn't really have in mind a place to share it. And so he stopped by and gave me an opportunity to come share this morning, but also next Tuesday. So there was something I was planning to speak on, which I'll be speaking on next week. And then there's something fresh and new that the Lord gave me for this morning. So I'm excited to be able to share it with you guys, and I think it's going to bless you and help you. I believe it will. It's based on the Word, so I know it will. How about that? Let's say that. Anyway, it all has to do with the idea of being conformed in the image of Jesus. Would everybody agree that's a good idea? Yeah, yeah. I see a lot of people look a lot like Jesus out there this morning, so that's great. So we're going to look at it in two areas. We're going to look at it in the area of being a husband and then also in the area of our finances. And you might be thinking right now, well, I'm not sure. I didn't know that Jesus was a husband or that he had any money. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. You know, if we might need to make some tweaks in the way we think so that we're lining ourselves up with the truth of the Word of God. Amen. All right, so our word is going to be conformed. We're basically, our main scripture we'll be, you know, kind of reading out of is Romans 8:29. And it basically reads, "For those whom he," talking about God, "for those he foreknew, he," God, "also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son." So that sounds like a good idea for us, right? To be conformed to the image of his son. That's what he's predestined each and every one of us to be. So normally, we don't really think of God as like, you know, being into predestination, but in this way, he is. He wants us to be conformed to the image of the Son, and it says why he wants us to be. It says, in order that he, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brothers. We got any of Jesus' brothers in the house this morning? Come on, you guys are awake. This is awesome. Come on. That's great. All right. So let me give you what the definition of that word conformed is. And I think it's interesting, too, that the scripture says it's so that we, to be conformed. Not like that it happens right in a snap the instant we get born again, but it's over a process of time, that we will be conformed over time. And anyway, the definition of conformed in that scripture is it's basically indicating an interchange of nature. Our very nature inside is changing. And it's working its way into our outward life. Pretty good definition, right? We want to be changed and conformed in the image of Jesus, his son. And it's just going to begin to express itself, working its way out of inside of us, out into the world around us. Praise God. So anyway, if we're going to be conformed in the image of Jesus, would y'all agree it's going to be important that we have an accurate image of Jesus? Right? If we have an image that's the wrong image of Jesus and we're trying to live into that image, well, we're not going to find ourselves where God would like us to be. And we won't be a correct image of who Jesus is. So that's what we're going to kind of go after today, is this idea of let's be conformed in the true image of God. But today is looking as far as husbands. And when we're looking to do this, it's actually, you know, as a pastor, and there's a few other pastors in the room. And speaking of pastors, just real quick, Pastor Tim, where are you at? Pastor Tim, just would you guys give it up for Pastor Tim for just leading this ministry and doing such a great job? This ministry is thriving and doing well and impacting lives. And, you know, so Tim, thank you for answering the call in your life and impacting so many lives. It's so good. So anyway, our job as pastor is, it's laid out in Ephesians 4:11-13. And it basically says, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers." And why did he give them? To do a couple of things. To equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Amen, right? And for building up the body of Christ. To build up the body of Christ. And then he defines in verse 13 what it looks like to be built up into the body of Christ. So this is what we're going after too. And you'll see the conformed piece in here as well. It says, we want to do this until we all, everybody say all attain to the unity of the faith. We need to have a unity of the faith, all be in agreement on what the truth is, right? It's going to be important. And it goes on to say, and of the knowledge of the Son of God. We have to have an accurate picture to know who the Son of God is and what he looks like and how he lived. And then it also says, and this is good for this group, and also until we reach mature manhood. Who's interested in reaching full mature manhood? You're right? That's what we're here for, right? So good. So, when we are conformed to the image of Jesus, the closer and closer we get to his full image, man, that's when we know we're reaching mature manhood. He is the picture of mature manhood, right? And then finally it says, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Woo! That's a lot, right? The fullness and the full stature of Christ. And so that's what he's calling us to and towards and to grow into, then that must be possible, right? That we can, over time, continue to grow and mold into the image of Christ. So our job as a pastor then is to help us attain the unity of the faith, knowledge of the Son of God, which is Jesus, and to grow into mature manhood and to come into the full stature of Christ. And to do that, we need to do a couple different things. We can't do it in our own strength. Has anyone ever tried to be, try to behave better in our own strength, right? How did that work? Not great, right? Yeah. So don't fall for that trap. So anyway, in 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18, it says, and I'm actually going to read verse 18 first and then do verse 17, but it says, but we all, so this applies to all of us, right? But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, talking about Jesus, we are being transformed into that same image. Praise the Lord. Each and every one of us are being transformed into that same image. From glory to glory, now this is important, by the Spirit of the Lord, not by the amount of our works, right? By the Spirit of the Lord. So now let's look at verse 17. I think it'll be more impactful. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom to live and come into the full image of Christ. So good, right? So it's going to take the power of God. It's going to take us knowing the truth, and we might need to even change some of our beliefs. We need to sometimes change our beliefs to line up with what the truth of the word has to say. And the tricky thing about beliefs is that we all believe them. If we thought our beliefs were not true, we wouldn't believe them, right? And that's the danger, is that we would have a belief that isn't lining up with the word of God because we believe it, right? So we have to really be alert and awake when we're in our word and seeing the truth of the word, and being willing to lay down what our current beliefs are to be able to grab a hold of the truth of the word so that we can actually be conformed into his image and be, to allow Jesus to be the firstborn among many brothers. So that's what we want to do. That sound like a plan? All right, so to do it, we're going to have to spend time with him, right? We got to spend time. We have to be spending time in his word and in his presence. And then 1 John 2:5-6 says, when we do this, by this we may know that we are in him. This is how we're going to know we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him, whoever is spending time with God, whoever abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. So we'll know by the way we walk if we're being conformed into his image or not, right? So, and it happens naturally. I would just kind of say if we're plugged into the things of God, if you think of it like a tree, is a branch of a tree just sitting there like, I need to produce an apple. I need to make an apple, and just straining as hard as I can. No, that branch just needs to stay connected to the actual tree, and it will just naturally provide and produce fruit, right? So that's all we need to do. We need to produce fruit by staying connected to the tree, to our source. All right, so we want to see how he walks so we can walk the same way. And then as far as Jesus as a husband, we want to be able to fully embrace our biblical call to reflect Jesus in our role as husbands. And we have to get the truth on that so that we know, what to model after, what to lean into. And all throughout Scripture, from the Old Testament through the New Testament, through the epistles, all the way through the book of Revelation, it talks about Jesus. It references him as a groom or a husband, and then as his church, as his bride or his wife. So we're gonna look at his relationship and what Jesus did, both leading up to the cross, during the cross, and after the cross, and what he did as a husband for his bride. And I think we can learn some things from that so that we can be conformed to that image and be an accurate reflection of him, both, you know, in our own lives, in our household, and then to those around us. All right. So the most famous probably quote about Jesus being a husband and the church being his bride is Ephesians 5, verse 25 and 26. It says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." So you can see there's a sacrificial love there, right? He gave up himself because he so loved the church, his body. And it says in verse 26, "to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word." So now let's look at how Jesus loved his bride by the choices he makes, like I said, both before, during, and after the cross. And when we're going through these three different examples, just I want you to notice, you're going to see a pattern here that your call and your marriage, they're intertwined. You and your wife have a shared calling. God put you together and made you one, not two separate entities, but became one to be able to walk in the fullness of that shared calling. And you'll see this kind of in these stories and these examples of Jesus here. But you're a team and you're here to accomplish what God has called you to accomplish. So let's look at example of Jesus before the cross. So before, and if you're taking notes, this is a good note here, is that, Jesus chose his bride over family and friends. He chose his bride over family and friends. So there's an example, we'll look at family first. Jesus is teaching in the synagogue. This is over in Matthew chapter 12, 46 through 50. And it says, "While he was still speaking to the people," this is talking about Jesus, "he was still speaking to the people, behold, his mother and his brothers stood outside." And y'all know who Jesus' mother was, right? Mary. And listen to what Jesus did here. He says, "So his mother and his brothers stood outside asking to speak to him. But he replied to that man who told him, and Jesus asked, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand towards his disciples," so he pointed to his disciples, he said, "here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." So at some point, we might have to make a hard call between serving our wife and our shared calling and maybe some things that are different than what our family and our friends might be calling us to. And those can be some hard decisions, but that's what Jesus modeled, right? Now let's look at an example with Jesus with his friends. And this is an example from Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 23. It says, "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised." So Jesus is sharing this truth with his friends, the disciples. And they're not all on board with this plan. They had a certain idea who Jesus was supposed to be and what he was there to accomplish. And they were having trouble lining up their own beliefs with what Jesus was telling them. And so Jesus had to correct it. But first Peter says, it says in verse 22, "And Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke Jesus, saying to him, 'Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you.' And then Jesus turned to Peter and said, 'Get behind me, Satan.'" He told his own friend, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me," it says. So we might have friends and they might have good intentions about you and your life, but they don't know maybe necessarily what exactly you and your spouse's calling is, what your shared calling is. They might be trying to be helpful, but they might be actually a hindrance to you. Now, a lot of times our friends are not a hindrance to us, obviously. Sometimes they're the people we need to walk with us to encourage us. But sometimes we just have to be aware if it's not lining up with the word and the calling on our lives, we might have to kind of set things straight a little bit and be strong like Jesus did here. Now, obviously, he was pure love, so I'm sure he didn't sever the relationship because we know from reading future scripture, both his family and his friends, they eventually, we see in like the epistles, that they were still with him, right? The apostles stuck with him, well, except for Judas, but that was a money issue. But then Mary was there when he was on the cross. So he didn't sever relationships, but he was strong on what his call was, right? And that's what we need to do too. So that's kind of an example of what happened, leading up to the cross. Now let's talk a little bit about an example that happened basically just basically the night before Jesus went to the cross. And this is an example, this is the second point, where Jesus chose his bride over his personal desires. So our first one was he chose his calling and his bride over his family and friends, and now he's going to have to make his choice to choose his bride over his personal desires. This is Matthew 26, verses 36 through 44. Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus literally prayed three times the same prayer. My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He didn't want that. His personal desire would have been like, this is going to be too hard. I don't want to do this. If there's another way, let's not do this. This is not going to be a good time. This is not going to be fun. But praise the Lord, Jesus didn't stop there. He continued and he said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. So that's an example of how we can be conformed over to in his image by laying down our personal desires for our bride and for our shared calling. Does that make sense? Anyone in the room ever have to do that before? Either one of those? All right. Yeah, there's a few hands up. So how was he able to do it? Because this is going to be good encouragement for how we're going to be able to do it in these tough situations. Hebrews 12:2 tells us that Jesus was able to do that because it was for the joy that was set before him. So he wasn't just looking to the cross, and the pain that was going to be inflicted there, the pain of that situation. He was looking forward and past that through to the joy of having accomplished it, right? And so that's what we can do is when God has shown us, what our call is in our life, he gives us glimpses of pictures of what that finished product is going to look like. And that can be the encouragement for us to continue to walk out that path. And, if you're needing more of a clear picture of what that's going to look like, ask the Lord. He's faithful to share it with you. All right, and then the third point is looking at what choice did Jesus have to make after the cross for his bride? And what Jesus did after the cross is he chooses to be his wife's biggest fan. He's his wife's biggest fan. We see in Hebrews 7:25 that it says that Jesus always lives to make intercession for us. So he's there at the right hand of the Father. He's our biggest advocate. He is cheering us on. He knows the call that's on your life, and he's rooting you on in every step along the way that you would finish that call that is on your life. And he is literally rooting on his wife. We are his church, right? We are his bride, and he is rooting us on. He's making intercession for us, and he just know that he is there doing that. And also says in Hebrews 12:1-2, that while Jesus is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, it also says that we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. So we have Jesus up there in heaven next to God, rooting us on, like, Father, check this out. He's rooting for you guys. He sees the choices you're making. And not only that, he gets into it, then all of heaven, this great cloud of witnesses is up there just cheering you on and getting behind you and your calling as well and just rooting you on every step of the way. Just think about what is your wife's or you and your wife's shared calling, and then how are we rooting her on as she's walking in to accomplish that. I want us to see ourselves maybe rooting on the same way David is about to root on his wife. And if you feel led to get up and start rooting along with it, man, let's go all in and let's get after it. Potentially, but let's get after it. Can we get jacked up at home and get our family excited that, we're rooting each other on in their call? Because that's how God and the cloud of witnesses is rooting us on, I believe. I believe that's a picture. He is up out of his seat. He is getting after it. He is all in, and he wants to see your success. He wants to see you fulfill the calling on your life. Because you know what? The devil will try to convince you that it's going to cost too much to go after your calling, but it's worth it. That's what God created you to do and created you and your spouse to do and to accomplish together, and you'll find no greater joy or fulfillment than getting after it, no matter what the cost is, right? For that joy that's set before you. It's so much fun. So, yeah. Hopefully you guys can take something from that, take that home, and get charged up a little bit. So anyway, to be conformed to the image of Jesus in our marriage, we're going to need to do three main things, I believe. We're going to have to choose our wives and our calling over our family and friends. We're going to have to choose our wives over our personal desires. And we're going to have to choose to be our wives' biggest fans. Can we do that, guys? I think if we did that, we could really shake some things up. I'm sure a lot of you guys are already doing that. But I think if we just leaned into this, we could make a huge difference and change the atmosphere in our homes. All right. And so anyway, one way to be conformed, another way to be conformed to the image of Christ is together as a couple. is to invite your wife into a time of spiritual growth. And what I want to do is kind of just offer up, there's more of you here than what we have space for, but the Generous Life Ministry is hosting an event called A Journey of Generosity this next Friday, not this coming Friday, but the first Friday in May. It's an overnight event from Friday at dinner time through Saturday at lunchtime. It's called A Journey of Generosity, and we'll usually have about 50 or 60 people there with round tables, just like we have here. We set up a lot of conversations. We show some really radical videos to kind of spur some ideas around being, you know, kind of radical generosity, not just finances, but also in all areas of our life, just being super generous with our overall life. And what we've seen is it's just a really powerful spiritual experience. We've had people come through it now. There's been over 200 families here from Res that have been to a jog now. And we're super excited about that. Just know nobody ever asked for money out there. The idea is for spiritual growth. And some folks have shared that outside of being saved and getting water baptized, that coming to the jog was their most powerful spiritual experience. So we have space for 10 couples. Registration is open. Would love to have you guys come out and see what it's all about, and then, you know, be able to share. But it'd be a time of spiritual growth to invite your wife into, that you as a couple could grow spiritually in this way. In addition to the video content that's shared, and then we have table discussions, there's also time where we actually study scripture together. There's time where we actually take some time of silence to cut away individually, and then as a couple, to hear from God, journal what he's speaking, coming together as a couple, and then making a plan to go forward. So it can be a really transformative time and a time for you to grow together as spouses. So again, we have room for 10 couples. We invite you to check it out. We do have another video I just wanted to show you guys that explains a little bit more what a jog looks like, and maybe addresses some of the thoughts you might be having right now. I should throw out there too, it's off-site. It's down at Gull Lake Ministries. If you've ever been down there or haven't been down there recently, it's been renovated. It's awesome. The church covers all the costs. All the meals are included, Friday night dinner, Saturday breakfast, Saturday lunch, and you get to fellowship with your fellow believers and, you know, fellow Res Lifers, and it's just an awesome time. So anyway, if you'd like to come be a part of a weekend where we talk about these kind of things and, you know, process it with a small group, we'd love to have you out there, and I guarantee that you'll grow. You and your wife will grow together, and it'd be great to have you out there. Anyway, I want to take the rest of our time and want to turn it over for table discussion. And just want you guys to kind of talk with each other. And, you know, you might take a minute or so just to pray first before you guys talk about it. But just maybe ask the Lord, is there any area where I'm conflicted on any of those three areas? You know, those areas being, am I choosing my wife over my family and friends? Choosing my wife over my personal desires? And am I choosing to be my wife's biggest fan? Am I conflicted in any of those areas? Are there any roadblocks that God could remove that would bring freedom and power in our lives? So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then you guys can go ahead and take a minute to pray on it yourselves a little bit, meditate on it, and then have some discussion to kind of close it out. But anyway, all right, well, Lord, I just thank you so much for every man here. I thank you for the families that they represent. God, I thank you that your word has gone forth and it won't return void, but will accomplish the thing unto which it was sent. God, I thank you that hearts are receptive and minds are open, God, and that lives will be changed and they'll never be the same. God, I thank you for what you're doing in and through these men and the impact that you're making. Holy Spirit, we just ask you to speak to each and every man here. We ask you to guide all the conversations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.